In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and God, amen. So today is officially the final Sunday of the month of Kiach. And as you know, during this month, we take the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter, and we split it into four parts. And every week of Kiach, we read a different section from the Gospel of St. Luke. And today was the final section. I'm from verse 57 to verse 80. And it's a very, very nice, uplifting, one of those kind of passages where, you know, the story about how the birth of John the Baptist and how Zacharias had been mute for 9 months ever since the angel appeared to him. Baby comes out, and then Zacharias' mouth's open, and man, oh man, does it open. And he says all kinds of wonderful things, and he praises the Lord, and he talks about how the Lord has delivered us and how the Lord has freed us, and he talks great, 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 great words. Some of those words that I pulled up here, okay, just some of the highlights of some of the stuff that he said. I want to ask you about these. He said, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Beautiful words. Very nice words. We understand the depth of these words. We understand that, you know, that now that, you know, when Christ has come, Christ came to free us and deliver us from our enemies, sin, death, hell, all those kinds of things. When Zacharias is saying these words, if you're like the neighbor, or you're like one of the relatives, what did Zacharias see to cause him to say these words? Like, what I'm asking is this. These words, okay, apply not really to John the Baptist as much as they apply to Christ, right? Like, had he seen Christ born, okay, he could say this. Had he seen, even not even Christ born, had he, like, known what Christ was going to do and the act of salvation, all that kind of stuff, you can say this kind of stuff. But what had he seen when he uttered these words? Had he seen Christ? Christ hadn't even been born yet. Had he seen his son in all his glory and all his splendor and all his stuff? All he had in front of him when he's saying these words is an 8-day-old child. Have you seen an 8-day-old child before? 8-day-old children, especially on the day of his circumcision, okay, couldn't have been a happy, glorious, couldn't have been a happy child, okay? He saw a crying, smelly, stinky little baby, and then he looks at him and says, "Ah, the salvation of the world, from now and forevermore. All the problems of history have been solved." You say, okay, Zacharias, you haven't been talking for 9 months. Maybe something happened in those 9 months. Or you do, like, you know, when we go to visit someone in the hospital who has a baby, and they say, "Oh, this is the most beautiful baby, right, Abuna?" "Yes, this is, yours is the most beautiful." "This is the smartest?" "Yes, yours is the smartest." Maybe Zacharias is like that. He just says, "Oh, my baby's going to solve all the problems in the world." "Sure he is, buddy. Whatever you say." How Zacharias looks at an 8-day-old child and says all the problems of the world have been solved. Maybe he's prophesying and saying that this is what I thought at first. Maybe he's saying, now that John has come, then Christ will come, and this is going to happen. So he's prophesying about what is going to happen. Agree or disagree? About what is going to happen. It can't be what's going to happen. And if you can read English, you see that he's not talking about what's going. Look at the verbs that he uses. He says, he has visited, has passed. He has redeemed. He has raised up a horn of salvation that we should be saved from our enemies in the hand of all who hate us. He's speaking about something that already took place. What is he talking about? You have an 8-day-old child, smelly, stinky. Where's the deliverance? The only thing that's been delivered is a baby. Okay? And I can't imagine that the baby came out prophesying from the womb or came out singing hymns or anything like that. I just imagine it was a normal baby who was nothing special about, and just, there's a baby. But somehow he said all these words. How? The key to today's gospel was actually the first verse that was read. And it was a phrase that's repeated often in the Bible. It has a very important meaning for us. It said, "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son." Now her full time came. Many times in the Bible, not many times, but a few times, you'll see the expression, the fullness of time. Okay? Maybe you've seen that in different places. The fullness of time. What it means, like here, okay, when her full time came, meaning she had a baby in her stomach, and then when her time, like when the time was right, like when the time was up to carry the baby, when her full time had come, she delivered the baby, and the baby came out. And that's what the fullness of time means. St. Paul speaks about the fullness of time in speaking about the incarnation and nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Fullness of time means that when God... Okay, so when Adam and Eve sinned, okay, God at that moment in time, even to be honest, before that moment in time, had a plan of salvation about how his Son was going to come into the world. And he had a plan, but it wasn't implemented until the fullness of time. Okay, and that was thousands of years later. Fullness of time... give you an analogy. I like waffles. Okay, especially, you know, when there's not much to eat in the Siam. My wife makes good Siami waffles. Okay? And the best thing about the waffles is there's the frozen kind, which, whatever, but the waffle maker kind, those are the money ones. Okay? So if you're looking for a good Christmas present on January 7th, you're still looking for late shopping, go get a waffle maker. Wonderful gift. So what happens is that she does really the hard part. She does the mixing and puts stuff in, and she knows I like chocolate chips, so she puts chocolate chips in there. And then me and my son Michael, okay, we get the waffle maker, we plug the waffle maker in, and then there's a little light. It tells you when it's warmed up. Once it's warmed up, you put the stuff in, okay, and then you close it. And then when you close it, a red light comes on, okay? And then you can't open the waffle maker until the green light comes on. So when the green light comes on, you know you're going to get some nice, juicy, chocolatey, crunchy waffles coming out of it. But you can't open it until the light comes on. That to me is the expression of the fullness of time. Okay? That's the fullness of time to me. Is that God mixes stuff and God does stuff and then God says, I'm going to make you waffles. And then he puts it in a waffle maker. And it's our job is to trust that once it's in the waffle maker, that light's going to go off at a certain moment in time. Not just any moment in time, the fullness of time. The perfect time when the waffles is just perfect. Zacharias understood this principle. Zacharias is speaking about the salvation of the world that is to come, that, watch this one, has already happened, but hasn't already happened. He's speaking because he's seen the salvation that has already happened, but it hasn't already happened. Just like when I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the waffles, which have already been made, but haven't been made yet. I'm looking at the waffles that have already been prepared. The chocolate chips have been put in. They've been mixed together. They've been stuck in the waffle maker, and they've been made. It's made. It's made. She told me she's going to make it. She mixed it. It's made. But it's not made yet. Not quite yet. It's not the fullness of time. That's what Zechariah was saying. Zacharias, you know the story about Zacharias. Angel came to him, you're going to have a child. Zacharias didn't believe at first. He said, how can it be? And I'm old, and my wife is old, and we're old, and all that kind of stuff. And then he got that whole mute thing. Believe me, Zacharias learned his lesson at that moment in time. And Zacharias learned from that day that when God says something, when God says there's something in the waffle maker, you say, yes, sir. You don't question, well, is it or is it not? Zacharias believed that God was doing something. And it looks like, after this, Zacharias got some more stuff revealed to him. Somewhere in there that the scripture doesn't tell us. Because God apparently revealed to him about the plan for his son, and about the plan for the salvation of the whole wide world. That's why it says, when the fullness of time had come for Elizabeth to be delivered, there's kind of two meanings to it. Delivered, but really delivered. Okay? And he's speaking about the deliverance that all of us are going to see. So Zacharias teaches us an important principle. Zacharias, watch this one, was smart enough to believe what he was told, even though it didn't match what he saw. Zacharias was smart enough to believe what he was told, even though it didn't match what he saw. What he saw, like I said, old man, despair, hopeless, no kids, wife old, no kids, no hope. That's what he saw. At first the angel came, he didn't believe, but then he learned to believe. And he took that lesson and carried it with him the rest of his life. Word of God came to him and said, you've been delivered from your enemies. And Zacharias took all the people and said, good news, we've been delivered from our enemies. They said, what? The Romans are right there. They're still in charge of us. He said, no, I'm talking about spiritual enemies. I said, what are you talking about? The devil still runs the world. The Messiah hasn't come yet. What are you talking about? And Zacharias was smarter because he believed what he was told, even though it didn't match what it is that he saw. This is one of the hardest things in life, is to be able to take God at his word, even though our life and our experience and our everything that we see doesn't match it. You know, there's an expression that we say right before we read the Bible, okay, which I hope everyone can pray every time they read the word of God, in quiet time, whenever. It says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes. Zacharias had blessed eyes because he could see what other people couldn't see. Other people looked and saw a smelly baby that's going to throw up on you and keep you up at night and be miserable and cost you a lot of money. Zacharias says, I see the salvation of the world. How? Blessed are your eyes, for they see. There's a verse that we read last week in the gospel when it was said about the virgin. When the angel came to her and she believed, and it said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Can you see the promises of God? Like the Bible says that either you walk by faith or you walk by sight. Can you see the promises of God? First thing is do you have like the virgin alone in her room, promise from the Lord? Zacharias alone in the temple, worshiping the Lord, promise from the Lord. Lord comes and gives us promises. Usually not like this. Doesn't give us promises here. Usually when we're alone with him, he gives us promises. And he gives us promises of, like for example, spoke about a couple weeks ago that I believe that God has a promise for every one of us, that a new child will be born into our life, and that child will change our life. And his name is Jesus, and everything can be different. And I believe that God gave us a promise that your whole life can be different. Whole life can be different when the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Your whole life, it had to be the same. If the same way on Easter we can live a new life, same on Christmas we can start a new life. The whole life can be different. And what's your problem in life? Tell me your biggest problem. You got a problem with sin? Savior solves sin. You got a problem with temptation? Savior solves temptation. You got a problem with prayer, with Bible? You got a problem with family? What's your problem? Tell me your problem. I got Savior who can solve your problem. And there's no problem the Savior can't solve. However, the solution may not be until the fullness of time. But who's the one who can fulfill this verse? That blessed is she who believed, there'll be a fulfillment of the things which are told her. Oftentimes, God comes to us, says, I have a promise, this good thing. We don't see it. We say, oh, well, I tried. There's two examples that have been mentioned every single week in the readings of the month of Kiach. Two guys from the Old Testament that are like the perfect epitome of this lesson. Two guys, his name has been mentioned, both of them have been mentioned every single week in the readings, and today they were mentioned multiple times. Any guesses? Moses is one. Abraham, very good. Every single week, go back and read the readings. Moses and Abraham are mentioned. You know why? Because they're the epitome of this lesson. If you were paying attention to the Acts of the Apostles today, and actually told us this lesson, the Acts of the Apostles started off by talking about Abraham, and said that God made a great promise to Abraham. Promise of descendants. Stars, as many as the stars in the sky, and as many as the sand on the sea. Father of many nations, and many people will be his children. You know the story of Abraham. How many of those children did Abraham ever play with? 50? 40? 30? 20? 10? 9? 2? 1.5, you can say. Okay? Ishmael, he had for a little bit. Ishmael got sent away. And the other one, Isaac, I mean, he didn't even have him until he was 100 years old. So how much playing could he have done when he was 100 years old anyway? Like, you can't play with him much. So this great promise of all these children and all these kids. And Abraham, if he walked by sight like me and you would walk, would say, end of his life, you know what? God let me down. God promised me many kids. I had 2. 50% of my kids walked away. I had 2, and 50% of them walked out of my life. And the other one, I had when I'm 100 years old, and I don't even remember his name or my name, I'm 100 years old. And he said, you know what? God let me down. But not Abraham. Abraham said, relax. Fullness of time. I'm sure God will fulfill it in the fullness of time. What's the fullness of time? Isaac. No. Jacob. Joseph. Nope. Joseph even got sent over to Egypt, and the fullness of time started to look pretty bad. And then what happened? Then Moses came along. That's what the Acts said about today. And then when Moses came along, what happened when Moses came along? Look at this verse. This is from the reading today. Oh, this is a verse about Abraham. It said that he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Here's the verse that I wanted. From Acts 7. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, at this time Moses was born. You see that? Do you know how many years between Abraham and Moses? Hundreds. Hundreds. Like 500-600 years. Hundreds of years. God promised Abraham right here. Abraham said, you know what? I have 1.5 kids, but I believe that you're going to give me millions of kids. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Not Isaac. Not Jacob. Not 100 years. Not 200. Not till Moses. And even when Moses, it said the time drew near. God is saying the light on the waffle maker is coming close. Wow. I wish I had that kind of faith. I wish I had that kind of faith. I wish I had that kind of faith, because at this moment in time, Abraham knew he was the father of many nations. And Abraham, if you'd given a sermon, say, to all my blessed children and beloved children all over the world. And there'd be two kids sitting right there. And they say, Dad, what happened to you, Dad? He says, no, I'm speaking to the millions of children that I have. And they say, like they said to Zacharias, what's wrong with you? You're gone funny. He says, no. You don't see? You don't see? See, the Lord promised me this today. And I know if the Lord promised me today, then at some moment in time, that waffle maker's going off. And at some moment in time, there's going to be some nice juicy waffles coming out of there. And he believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's easy to believe God when God is doing miracles. But true faith is to believe in God when there's no miracles and there's nothing that you can see. If I say, here's a good man, I believe in him. I have faith in this man. That means that even when I don't see him doing something, I trust in him. Okay? I don't have faith in my wife if I'm guarding her all the time and watching to make sure she doesn't cheat on me. That's not faith in. Faith in is that when I don't know what she's doing and I can't see anything that she's doing, is that I trust that she's faithful to me. Faith in God is the same way. Faith in God is when he's doing nothing, or at least seemingly doing nothing, I should say, and when you see nothing, and when you hear nothing, and all you have is a stinky baby in front of you that smells, is going to make your life miserable, make you happy too, but, you know, some bad parts to it, that you believe that God has just saved the world. Why do you believe that? Because that's what he said he's going to do. I believe God made a promise to all of us. You're Zacharias. God made a promise to every one of us that he's coming to save us. Not save us, again, not save us from hell, because he's already come to save us from hell. Save us from whatever it is that we're going through. To save us. I need saving. I need saving. I need someone to come and save me from myself, from my problems, from my sin, from my whatever. Save me today. He promised me he's going to come and save me. I went back home after I got that promise. My life was exactly the same. I saw nothing different. But then I had a choice to make, and you have a choice to make as well. He promises you. Do you believe or you don't believe? Last verse I'll show you. My favorite verses in the Bible comes from the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision... See, Habakkuk had a problem. He got a promise from God, and he was a little bit hesitant on the promise. He hadn't seen it fulfilled. So the Lord said to Habakkuk, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. God made a promise. I don't need to know when it's coming out. I don't need to know when the fullness of time is. All I need to know is one thing. Did God make a promise or not make a promise? And if the answer is yes, God made a promise, then at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Surely it will come to pass, even though it tarries. Because that's who God is. God made a promise to us. First of all, if you haven't received a promise from God, go get one, because they're very nice. Go get a promise from God. But when God makes a promise, he comes through on it. And he never, ever lets us down. Glory be to God forever. Amen.